today on Real Radio.
You read something today, you hear some report, you see the news broadcast, and we've been conditioned not to believe it. Maybe that's good, maybe not, I don't know. But when God says this is true, I am grateful that in this day and age, I've got the Bible to tie my heart to. God's word is true. Jesus is truth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 3. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, of course, who later on became the leader of the first church. In Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. But Peter taught them how to live a victorious life, even in the midst of pain and discouragement. Previously in our study, Peter was challenging us to always be ready to give an answer for our faith. There will be times when we'll be attacked simply for doing good, but this really shouldn't surprise us, and our response should come with humility and respect. People who lack the knowledge of God's word are not reading the Bible. They're reading us. It's why our lives are to emulate Christ by sharing what we believe so others will have the opportunity to receive Him. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack asks, what is truth? In a world where we are bombarded with lies, people are following a perverted truth. They think they don't need God and that science has all the answers. But the Christ follower knows that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that His word is true. And now in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 17 in our study today. We're wrapping up the third argument regarding the message entitled, On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready. We're looking at Peter's words to the church on living in the last days. Even though he gave that message by the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago, he gave it to a church that was being persecuted. He gave it to a church that was under the yoke of Roman hatred and Roman attack. And Peter speaks to them. And because the Holy Spirit's the author of the Bible, so the Spirit of God speaks to us today. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. I'll read it all through to you, and then we'll get back into the study today. 1 Peter 3, 13 begins where Peter says to them, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Notice the counter to the threats against us in this world. How do we respond? The answer is verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better," verse 17 says, "if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Father, we pray now that your word would minister to our hearts, and Father, work through, step over, sovereignly, God, reign in our inadequacies, both to be teachers, Lord, for us to handle, to teach the Bible as mere humans, the very word of God, and Lord, as students of your word. Father, we cannot retain any of this unless your Spirit drives it into our souls. So we look to you in your totality to govern over this service, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've already had about enough of winter. It's been cold for about a week. We even had some rain, which was awesome. May God send us more rain. But the fact of the matter is the evenings have dipped into the low 50s. Yesterday, I think, was 66 degrees. And truly, there's peril and tribulations happening all over the globe. as we think about it. These adverse weather conditions have caused us to bundle up. Although I did see some of you still wearing shorts this morning. But just the other day, I came to Friday morning prayer and I was bundled up. I even had gloves on. I'm so pathetic. And but the whole point is that the seasons change. And even in Southern California, there's a hint of winter in the air and it causes some of us to bundle up. And the word that Peter is expressing to the church is that we ought to be bundled up because we're going to be entering adverse weather conditions as a church. I love the incredible power of the Bible, God's word, which is, we better be careful that we do not view his word as some old book. But when we look at the Bible, we have to revere the Bible because the Bible speaks not only to the past, to the present, but to the future. But God's word addresses the very issues of the day in which you and I live in. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, difficult seasons are going to be coming to the believer. God's word says that there's going to be a forecast of stormy weather when it comes to us in our faith in Christ. And we need to remember that. I want to give you some words of introduction before we close out the third and final installment on this teaching today. And regarding the times, Christian, write these verses down. Put them in the margins, by the way, of your Bible. You should have a pen. You should have a highlighter. Your Bible should be all marked up. And when your Bible's all marked up, then you just put it off to the side and you get a brand new Bible and you start all over again and you collect your Bibles that way. They become, as it were, personal diaries of your study. But in the margins of your Bible, write down these verses right here next to 1 Peter 3:13. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, that's the last days, some will depart from the faith." Wow. Some. Make sure it's not you. "Some will depart from the faith." They'll turn away. They'll walk away from Christ. They'll walk away from the Bible. They'll walk away from believing. How do they do that? They give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Aberrant, strange. Doctrine that's off from the Bible. Maybe subtly, maybe profound, but off. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, they'll have their own or having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. This is a graphic word, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In the last days, the Bible says that in and out of church will flow people who have not only lost faith, but they'll have their conscience seared with a hot iron, as it were, and they will promote damnable doctrines, the old King James calls it, or doctrines of demons. Demonic, satanic doctrines woven in among what a person believes. And you know what? Last week I mentioned in all of the services about the imminency of Christ's return. Do you remember that? That Jesus could come back at any time. And I gave reference to that. And it was interesting to me that numerous people, that's kind of generous, I guess. Two people came up to me during those services, independently from services, and said, "I don't believe Jesus Christ is coming back at all. And you shouldn't be telling people that, Pastor." Yeah, that's what I said. I went, wow. And so vehement, so passionate, so dedicated to denying the return of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if there's people that deny the return of Jesus Christ, that they are actually propagating heretical doctrine. You may differ as to when Christ is coming back, but he is coming back. You got to remember that. Doctrines of demons. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "And with every wind of doctrine," there's a warning there, "every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." Boy, look at those words, that there will be those in the last days plotting and deceiving and scheming to lead people astray. And so the Christian needs to be bundled up, as it were, for a time of hostile weather, spiritually speaking. And everything we've been learning these last 3 weeks now is all nestled in around like a nucleus of verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15, that is what forms our title. but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Speaking, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, speaking the word in truth. Again, still introduction, truth. How do we combat false doctrine? And how do we stay true to being able to defend what it is that you and I believe? How do we give an answer to every man that asks us for this reason, for the hope that you and I have? With truth. And truth, by the way, listen, all truth is God's truth. You need to know that. God's truth expands and encompasses all things true. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, not only do I mean by doctrinal truth, Bible truth, but all that is authored by God, which is true, is true. And listen, science, for example, true science is true because God is truth. Does that make sense to you? God's the author of science. Science didn't author God. Whatever is true is of God. Well, for example, this week, a caterpillar in our backyard, a monarch caterpillar, became the chrysalis. Why did it do that? Because that science is true, and the author of the science is the author of the caterpillar and soon-to-be butterfly, God. And it's true about all things true that God is the author. And it encompasses all that there is that is true. But the enemy is against truth. In fact, listen, in John 18, verse 37, Jesus is standing before Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and it says there, as Jesus is standing, John 18, 37, that Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered and said, "You say rightly that I am king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the," what is it? "Truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And listen to this. In a moment of candor, Pilate said, "What is truth?" That's one of the most profound, great questions of humanity. It's also a very tragic and scary question to ask. What is truth? You're either searching for truth or you don't believe truth exists. Can you kind of feel it in what Pilate is saying? Was Pilate somewhat dejected? Being a Roman, he had seen it all. Disillusioned, bitter. He had seen corruption. He had seen horrible things with wars for him to have that lofty position. And Jesus says, "All those who hear me because of the truth." And you can almost hear Pilate say, "What is truth?" I wonder if there's a little break in his voice or a little tear in his eye of hopelessness. What's truth? Today, people are asking, what's true? What is truth? Boy, you look around at what's going on and all the things around us, and you begin to wonder now, what is true? Think about it right now. Listen, for every one of us in this room right now, notice how little bit you trust in these days. You are much more trusting 10 years ago than you are today. Somebody say amen. You read something today, you hear some report, you see the news broadcast, and we've been conditioned not to believe it. Maybe that's good, maybe not, I don't know. But when God says this is true, I am grateful that in this day and age, I've got the Bible to tie my heart to. God's word is true, and Jesus is truth. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth." And in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, in regard to the church of all ages, the church of the last 2,000 years, listen to what the Bible says regarding the church, that is the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are to combat false doctrine, and we are to give an answer to those who ask of us for the hope that we have with truth. And then finally this, as we get into our study today, 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. I love this in the old King James. It is awesome because it is most accurate. And I'm going to read it to you in the old King James. 1 Timothy 6:20. Paul speaks to Timothy and he says, "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. And that word science, by the way, is a great word, gnosis. It means the knowing. Watch out, Timothy, against those who would come and try to take what is known and try to pollute it and try to pervert it. The word means to take something that you are to know about and to hang on to it. And it's remarkable because, again, that word means the knowing, having understanding of, as to, listen, how something is. And you need to write that down in your notes, to know the how of something. Paul is talking to Timothy saying, you need to be very knowledgeable about how things work, Timothy, in the last days. Be careful and watch out. What does that mean? Now, I'm going somewhere with this. This is a long introduction, I know, but we'll finish on time. This is important because you and I are believers living in a world of increasing persecution. The world does not want to hear from us for one of two reasons. Either A, it's going to be because you and I do not know what we're talking about in their eyes, or we do know what we're talking about. If you and I do not know what we're talking about before an unbelieving world, then we are imbeciles to them. We are fools and we're silly. And we are nothing but a scourge and a pariah on the surface of the earth. And the Christian needs to go to the backwaters of time. That somehow in some way the Christian is outdated. If you and I cannot defend our faith, that's how the world is going to see us. On the other side, if we can defend our faith and give reason and challenge for what it is that we believe, then there'll be those who will put their trust in Christ, but there'll be also those who will not allow us to go to the backwaters of yesteryear, but they will be attacking us. Why? Because we begin to explain as believers, not the how, not the science of things, but the why. This is key. This is important. Now listen, I can tell you how, I can honestly tell you this, and it isn't like an Einstein. I can tell you how a Boeing 787 gets off the ground. It's not hard. I can tell you how it happens. I can tell you that the thrust of those great engines will overcome the drag that the aircraft itself produces. I can tell you that once thrust reaches a maximum point, that lift, a positive force forms on the bottom of the wing and a negative force forms on the top of the wing, and that plane begins to lift. And as long as the negative's on the bottom of the wing and the positive's on the top of the, the positive on the bottom, negative on the top, that plane's gonna fly. I can tell you how an airliner will fly. But what I cannot tell you is what was in the mind. Why did Boeing invent it? We can speculate. You can say because of money. They wanted to make money. But why did Mr. Boeing ever start the company in the first place? I can tell you how a company might work. I can't tell you why the founder created it. Are you with me? I can tell you a little bit about how a car works, but I can't tell you why it was in the mind of the creator. I can only speculate. In the world in which you and I live in, science, people will say today, we don't need your God. Because we can tell you how things work and how things exist and how things function. You know why you can tell us that? Because that's science. But science never tells us why things exist. Why are things the way that they are? Listen, I can tell you, you can tell me how to bake a cake, how to make a cake. That's the how. But you can't tell me why I bake you a cake. Why, if I gave you a cake today, you'd say, well, you wouldn't ask, how'd you make it? You know how I made it. You would ask me, why did you make me a cake? That very question demands that you get inside of an area that is non-tangible because it deals with the will, it deals with the heart, the mind, and the spirit of things. You need to remember that. This week, I began reading a book, and I'll put the title up on the screen for you. It's by Dr. Stephen Hawking. And the book is entitled Brief Answers to the Big Questions. And I got to tell you guys right now, the introduction to the book grabbed me. Remember, this is one of the smartest guys that ever lived in modern times. He's now passed away. But I want to read something to you. In light of what I just shared with you a moment ago, the how versus the why. Science tells us how things work. God tells us why things are. Stephen Hawking says, science is increasingly answering questions, listen everybody, that used to be the province of religion. Religion is what was an early attempt to answer the questions we all ask. Why are we here? Where did we come from? Okay, you guys following me? Notice the questions he's asking. He's asking, why are we here? Where did we come from? That's what he puts forth. And by the way, he attributes those questions to previously being answered by religion. The answer was almost always the same. God's made everything. The world was a scary place, so even people as tough as the Vikings believed in supernatural beings to make sense of natural phenomena like lightning, storms, or eclipses. Nowadays, science provides better and more consistent answers. Listen, answers to what? What's he asking? But people will always cling to religion because it gives comfort and they do not trust or understand science. I don't know about you, maybe I've been up too long, too many cups of coffee, but that statement is an insult to my intelligence. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, skeptic in the house, did you get that? He asked the questions up front, why are we here? He never answered, read the book, he never answers that question. The other question, where do we come from? He never answers the question. He turns right around and flips it because he goes from he asks honest questions, but he doesn't give the answer and then turns and says only religious people pursue things like this because they're basically afraid of science. Excuse me, my God invented science. My God is the God that says this is how things work and you need to stick to the laws of science because I made them, and when you study them, you will conclude things like the heavens declare the glory of God, that the human being is made in a most wonderful, miraculous way. That's what science does. It exposes the greatness of God. But the grand question still remains, why are we here? God answers that in this book. Hawking doesn't answer it in his book. What's the purpose to our existence? God answers that question here. And so we are to be equipped to give the answers. And so here we go, third and final installment, verses 16 to 17. On your mark, get set, be ready. Third, it's this, to be ready to be confident in the faith. Christian, every one of us, mark it down, are to be confident in the faith.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, with part three of his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready. Thanks for joining us today. And when your life is in the Lord's hands, you truly can be ready for anything. On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Can you imagine if there was live streaming available back in Peter's day to witness the passion and the fervor with which Peter spoke to those gathered there? You gotta admit, that would truly be remarkable. Still, whatever is possible right now will soon be obsolete compared to what's coming in the future. That's why Pastor Jack is constantly changing formats to keep up with the newest trends on social media. When you go to our website, jackhibbs.com, you'll find easy access to videos, Real Radio broadcasts, devotions, as well as live streams from his YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. So head on over to our website, jackhibbs.com, to get all that Pastor Jack has to offer. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.